I want to talk about relationships this morning. That's a biblical topic. There's a lot in the Bible about relationships. One of the things that I learned in my psychology class in college was that there are three areas, three stages of all relationships. The most obvious example of that is marriage, perhaps. There's the honeymoon stage. That's when you're excited, enthusiastic, euphoric. The honeymoon stage, yeah. I remember the honeymoon stages. Our culture has a tradition of us getting away to celebrate the beginning of a relationship. And it's an exciting time. The problem is that there's another stage that we go into, and that's something the psychologists call the disappointment stage. That's when things don't turn out the way you hoped. Or maybe said another way, reality comes around. You find out some of the weird habits of your new mate. You find their weaknesses. You see the struggles that they are having that you weren't aware of. And then there's the decision stage. What are you going to do with the disappointments? In our culture, divorce has become a way of handling disappointment in a marriage. And unfortunately, a lot of folks don't go far enough with the relationship to realize that they threw away one of the most beautiful things they could have ever had. But that's a stage. You know, in the life of Christ, you see these same stages. The honeymoon stage in John 6, beginning with verse 5 and through verse 15, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And if you read that account, they wanted to make him king. Honeymoon stage. But then you read a little further in John 6, and by the time you get to verse 66, the Bible says, quote, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Disappointment. Realization that he wasn't going to establish a physical kingdom. He wasn't going to throw the Roman yoke off of the people. And then there's the decision stage. You're going to stay, you're going to go. You read the next two verses, John 6, verses 67 and 68. People are walking away. The price of discipleship is too high. And Jesus is showing his disappointment. Says to the 12, are you going to go away too? And that's when Peter responds to him, Lord, whom do we go to? You have the words of eternal life. Three stages. And this is repeated over and over and over. You remember the last week of Christ's life? Matthew 21, beginning with verse 7, there's a procession. Jesus is riding a colt and people are putting fronds down, a way of honoring, supporting him. all the way into Jerusalem. And before it's all done, in Matthew 27, they're yelling, "Crucify him." The same people. They went from the honeymoon stage of glorifying him and honoring him. And then when he's teaching them and they begin to realize he's not just doing what they wanted him to do, it's all going their way, they call for this same Son of God to be crucified. You can read about that in Mark 15. You can read about it in Matthew 27. You know, in the first century church, the same principle applied. There was the honeymoon stage. Let me read about it to you. This is Acts, the second chapter, starting with verse 41. "Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day." Euphoric, contagious, excited. The Bible goes on in the next verse, verse 42, and says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and wondrous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The honeymoon. But you know, you keep reading in Acts, and in just a few short chapters, the next stage comes around. In Acts 11, beginning with verse 2, the Bible says, "When Peter had come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Honeymoon's over. The gainsayers are starting to make their mark. And you can't determine from what it said there whether they were all just crabby people or whether they really and sincerely didn't understand. But we know from what went on later that most of them were legalists who didn't want to give up what they had always thought was true. They weren't willing to change. Disappointment. And to add to that, Herod, according to Acts 12 and verse 2, killed James. Tough times. So what happened in the early church? Well, many chose to leave. We read Paul's frustration with that process and what was going on in the early church. It's a good lesson for us because things don't always go as well as we would like. The church faces challenges just like it did in the first century. And so in Galatians, the first chapter, in verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel, I'm amazed that you are so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of God and have turned to another gospel." The gospel of Christ is not always easy. And what they found was that there were some other things out there that were more attractive. That's going on today, isn't it? There's a lot of other gospels out there, a lot of things that are much more attractive, much more entertaining. Another gospel. It's important for us to understand that in the stages of the church, this has always been an issue just like it is today. Some of the problems were that people saw that this was a way of making money. Remember Acts, the 8th chapter, there was a guy named Simon. He saw what the apostles were doing, and the Bible says when Simon saw that through the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power." The gainsayer. I promise you, I am not speaking to you this morning because of how much money you're going to pay me. Okay? Because you don't pay me anything. You say, well, you're not worth anything. Okay, that's not the point. The point is, we don't function on the basis of making money. But turn on your television. Listen to the kind of approach that is made in the name of church. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 11, another example of the disappointment stage was given. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "There are many contentions among you." I have a good friend who's a preacher who says, you know, we have divided over everything you can divide over and a few things you can't divide over. That's so true. We got some contentious people out there, don't we? Yeah. That's true of every relationship, every thing you can think of. The business community. How about politics? Any contention there? Nothing but contention. And then there are people that just give up. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul talks about a man named Demas who had been a worker, who had been part of the church. You read Colossians 4 and verse 14, he's mentioned with Luke. In Philemon 24, he's mentioned. He was active, doing stuff. But in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, when I sit in the pulpit up there in the church building in Dowagiac, every time I look out, there's a boat going by. All campers and boats and skiing museums. There's a lot of stuff out there that's more attractive than picking up trash along the highway. That isn't always attractive, is it? I find it kind of entertaining, actually, to see what people throw out. But we're just like Demas. There's a lot to attract us. And over the 25 years or so that I've been a part of this congregation, we've had folks that came and we had great hopes that they would get involved and would make a difference in the church. And it was too much. There's a casino right next door. That's a big attraction. Their parking lot is always much fuller than ours. So the disappointment stage is there, and many decide to leave. In the Church of Christ today, we have the same tendencies. Why do we find congregations that change preachers every 2 years? See, that's a phenomenon where we want to maintain a new honeymoon. Because when a new preacher comes in, there's usually a honeymoon period. Not always, but usually there is. We like honeymoons. So we secure a new preacher. You know, it's one thing that's interesting to me has been I've been involved in a lot of church plantings where there was no congregation of the church and a group of Christians picked up and moved in and established a church. And you know what always happens? That always goes well. The first year or two, it's almost always true that the church grows rapidly. A lot of new folks. But then Satan gets involved and disappointment comes in. And people start looking after their own well-being. So we have issues. Women's role in the church. An issue. One that we've talked about. One I think we understand. One I hope we know that our concern is for others, not just for our own egotistical, arrogant desires. That's for both males and females. We have a thing called AD 70, where people were disappointed that Christ hasn't come as quickly as they wanted him to, and so they say, well, maybe he did come, and we just didn't recognize him. See, that's part of the disappointment stage. So the church faces that, and it was kind of interesting to me, that last song that Bill led us into. Did you think about that? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Is that true? How has your relationship changed? You and I personally faces these same stages. Well, I did. I know. I know I did. When I was a baby Christian, what was it like? When I came out of atheism and was baptized into Christ and put on Christ and read Romans 6 and decided I was going to live differently. Man, I was excited. And I related to Paul. Do you remember what Paul did? Paul, in Acts 9 and verse 20, he's converted, and the first thing he does is he goes to the synagogue and he preaches Christ. Honeymoon, excited. Man. So what did you do right after you were baptized? Were you like Acts 8:39? He went on his way rejoicing. Were you excited because you had found a sure relationship with God? You know, my story was very much that way. When I was baptized into Christ, I was with a different clientele of people. My old friends who were shooting drugs and drinking themselves blind and sleeping with everything that moved and a few things that didn't, and just that kind of life involved with foul language, bad thoughts, potential for abusing others. I remember right after I became a Christian, I went to the preacher and I told him, I want to get involved. What can I do? What can I do? I think I shocked him. He said that he had never heard that before. So mostly to get rid of me, I think he said, well, why don't you do the bulletin for me? Okay, I can run a copy machine. And then I found out nobody was taking care of the teenagers, so I went into the youth program. Got involved with young people. That was exciting. And then I saw that a lady named Helen Richards had a prison ministry going. She needed help, so I got involved in the prison ministry. And then I found out that Rochester, Indiana needed a preacher. They didn't have a preacher. They'd put up with anything, even me. So I preached at Rochester for 2 years. That was a fiasco. I didn't know anything. Here I am, just been a Christian, just came out of atheism, and all of a sudden I'm preaching. And through all that, I thought, man, boy, these Church of Christ people, man, they're perfect. They don't have any trouble. They don't have any struggles. They don't ever do anything wrong. They don't ever make a mistake. And then I hit the disappointment stage. I found out none of those things were true. Even leadership people in the church made mistakes, had some bad attitudes. I remember one time I was driving down Michigan Street in South Bend, and my father was in the front seat with me. And here comes the preacher. And I mentioned all of a sudden, hey, here's a preacher at our church coming behind us here. And all of a sudden, this guy zoomed by us about twice the speed limit, cut in front. My father looked at me and he said, is that what Church of Christ people do? That's the way they drive? Oh, my. Now, see, Paul faced that kind of problem. You think you've had trouble with people in the church? You know what happened to Paul? Read Acts 9 and verse 26. The Bible says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to become a part of the congregation in Jerusalem. And what did they do? The Bible says they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. Boy, that would have been enough to make me pack up and leave. And sometimes we have folks who have come to the church and have packed up and left, because they found out we aren't perfect. We found that there were things that others were not doing that we could do. It took an older Christian to step in and take Paul to the disciples and vouch for him. Acts 9, verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them that Paul had seen the Lord on the way and that he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, we need to take care of those who have recently become Christians, because they're going to hit that disappointment stage. And there are some of you listening to my voice who probably have had that experience yourself. And I want to beg you, don't quit Jesus because I'm not perfect, because I'm not. Don't quit God because people in the church make mistakes, because we do. We need to take time to renew our understandings, like Paul did. What did Paul do? Read Galatians 1, beginning with verse 16. I conferred not with flesh and blood and didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him 15 days. But of the other apostles, I saw none except James, the Lord's brother. What did Paul do? He confirmed his faith. Now, I'm not talking about some ceremony, confirmation. No. What I'm talking about is consciously working at resolving his doubts. And whatever it is that stood in the way of him becoming active. Now, Paul could have, stuck his thumb in his mouth and sucked his thumb and said, well, they didn't treat me right. I'm going to go somewhere else. Back to Judaism. No, that's not what he did. And I've often wondered what in the world was in Arabia. Maybe it was just time for him to study God's word. But whatever he did it alone and he confirmed his faith. What have you done to confirm your faith? I've mentioned this before. We have correspondence courses you can take. I have two courses that I offer in apologetics, but we have seven other courses. And some of them are pretty rigorous, advanced courses. I think the only one in this congregation that's done that is Leon. But I think it's important for us to understand that God expects us to keep growing. So, yeah, you went through a honeymoon stage. I hope it was exciting and encouraging. And, yeah, you've gone through the disappointment stage. There have been some things that have let you down. It's true that when both Niles and Dwajak had splits, a lot of folks left and never came back. I've talked to these folks. They're disappointed. A few of them are straggling back. I hope we can reach out to all of them. But you're at the decision stage right now. Will you stay or will you go? This pandemic has put some stress on us. Is the fact that I'm not in the building preaching from the pulpit stressing you a little? Is the fact that we aren't able to have Bible classes on Wednesday night and Sunday night interfering with your growth? You know, in your life, you've had this same process. If you're married, you had a honeymoon. You had a disappointment stage. Did you let it run to divorce? I hope not. But if that did happen to you, profit by the mistake. And don't let it happen in your relationship to God. Don't divorce God. How about your job? When you first took your job, you were excited, right? Then you ran into trouble. The boss wasn't everything you thought he was. The job wasn't as easy as you thought it might be. What'd you do, quit? How about raising kids? Remember holding that cute little baby? Sweet. Innocent, loving. But then they turned into an ugly teenager. What did you do? Did you stay or go? In our society, people are turning their kids over to somebody else to raise. The disappointment of struggling with raising a child was too much. And as a public school teacher, I can tell you that a lot of parents turn their kid over to me to straighten out. Some people take their kid to church, take their kid to church to have someone else handle the disappointment of the fact that kids aren't born automatically believing. We've all known people that drop their kids off at church and disappear. It was a big deal in South Bend years ago because people were not able to get into a bar after they dropped their kid off at church. Then they wonder why their kid turns into an alcoholic. And have you given up on the church because what you wanted really was a social club? See, one of the things that people criticize us for is that we don't have an instrument of music. Why don't we have an instrument of music? Because we believe people need to participate in worship, not be entertained by worship. Now, I'm all for spiritual songs as an entertainment. I love Bill Gaither. I watch that TV show quite often. But that's not a time of worship. That's entertainment. And when I come to church on Sunday morning, it isn't to be entertained. If you came listening to me because you wanted to be entertained, that's too bad. because I'm not entertaining. I know that. I don't have a lot of funny stories. I don't tell good jokes. I look funny, but outside of that, it's not much entertainment. So will you stay or will you go? Jesus said to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14, "You make me sick." What was the problem? Hey, they were going through all the motions. They had worship service. They sang songs. They prayed. Read those verses. Because that was as far as their faith went. Why do we clean up the highway? Why do we empty the food truck? Why do we have coats for kids? Why do we operate a food bank? Why do we support Schultz Lewis? By the way, we need you to bring your cans. Why are we involved in a jail ministry, which is all over the country? Why are we doing all this stuff? Because we don't want to be like the church in Laodicea. We don't want to make God sick. Because Jesus goes on and says, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I want nothing to do with you. You make me sick." Church, is getting over the disappointment and getting involved. And it doesn't matter who you are, you can be involved. Yesterday, we had a lot of folks from Niles helping us. We had a lot of contact with the community. We enjoyed time together. Gary brought a bunch of squash. So we could talk about that, talk about how we love each other, how we care for each other. So what's your decision? You've had the honeymoon. You've hit the disappointment. Will you go or stay? And my prayer and my plea is don't go. There's nothing out there that is going to help you. There's nothing that's going to support you. There's nothing that's going to change anything about you. And we have a song to give you an opportunity to express your desire to continue to serve God and to be a Christian. Our hope and God's hope is that you will stay, overcome the disappointment, and let your life be a glowing praise to God and an encouragement to others. Won't you come to the front of the auditorium if you're at the building and want some help? As together we stand and sing number 773. Won't you come?